Hello, and welcome to another listener appreciation episode of the Smashing Pumpcast. Zeitgeist summer has finally cooled off, and soon we'll be covering Tiergarten by Kaleidoscope. But before we move on, we're going to take one last glance for now at Zeitgeist and hear from some of our listeners what that era meant to them. Up first is musician and former guest of the Pumpcast, Spose.
Hey, what's up? It's Spose, longtime fan and former guest of the Smashing Pumpcast. I just wanted to check in before the deadline. Sorry I'm recording on my voice notes, not super amazing quality audio, but I just want to check in before the Zeitgeist summer officially comes to a conclusion. And for me, I just want to share the story of the night Zeitgeist came out. It came out, obviously, like, in that time, records came out at midnight on Tuesday, but nowhere was nowhere normally would have been opened on this Tuesday. But it was the summertime, and Zeitgeist summer, and something else came out that day that made it so I could get Zeitgeist at midnight, and it was Harry Potter, the Harry Potter book. I want to say Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince came out that night. And so I drove to Barnes & Noble with these two girls. I was at a party, and I convinced Kate Colley and Carly Vaness, I think, who are two friends of mine, to go, at least Kate Colley, to go to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, 30 minutes away. We're at a party, and I was like, let's go to Barnes & Noble. And we're like, we leave the party and drive all the way to Barnes & Noble in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I convinced them to come with me because the Smashing Pumpkins were putting out Zeitgeist. And I had heard Tarantula, and I was like, here we fucking go. I was like, the Pumpkins are back. You know, I couldn't wait to get Zeitgeist. And so at this point, I'm like the last Smashing Pumpkins fan I know. You know, even at Machina, most people had kind of moved on, you know, in 2000. I had not moved on. I stood in line for like a day to get them to sign my stuff in the Machina era. So I'm with Pumpkins for life at this point. So I couldn't wait to get Zeitgeist. And also, I couldn't fucking wait to get the Harry Potter book too. So I was just stoked. I'm rolling in there. I'd gotten out of work. I think I was working in a kitchen, like cooking, you know, burgers and hot dogs and lobster rolls and stuff. And I got out, went to the party, and with my, you know, whatever money I'm making as a cook, I'm like, I'm buying Harry Potter and I'm buying Zeitgeist. But I had to get the people at Barnes & Noble hadn't put Zeitgeist out yet. Like, it was in the back. So I got in and I got I got my Harry Potter book. They have a whole stack of them. There's kids all dressed as wizards. You know, I'm definitely high, super blazed, you know, and I'm like, this is amazing. And all the moms and everybody all Harry Pottered out. I'm a Harry Potter fan, so I was fine. I was excited about that too, but I, and so was Kate Colley. So we got in, we got our books, but they didn't have Zeitgeist out, so I had them go, have them go look in the back. They bring it out. I get like the deluxe Zeitgeist. It's like a book almost. I'm so fucking stoked. And we must have listened as we drove back to Maine over the Piscataquis River, you know, on the huge bridge that separates New Hampshire and Maine, headed over that. I just remember getting on the highway there, fresh out of Barnes & Noble, got our Harry Potter books, got Zeitgeist, and I'm listening to Doomsday Clock at about the loudest possible volume in my Nissan Altima. We are, and I don't know, I don't think Kate Colley was, she was in the moment, but I don't know how much she liked the Pumpkins enough for me to blast fucking Doomsday Clock. And I just remember hearing this song and being like, ah, we're back. Like, it was a big moment as a Pumpkins fan. And I'll always love Zeitgeist, man. I think it's a solid album. I wish it was on streaming because I had to buy it again on CD because my CD, I'm pretty shitty at my life. And so my CDs are all scratched. So I had to get another copy of Zeitgeist recently at Bull Moose Music. But yeah, I just want to say I had a great night, the night of Zeitgeist. And then we went back to the party, by the way. Sorry, we drove all the way back to Maine, and we went back to the party with our Harry Potter books, like we had just rolled in with, like, I don't know, cocaine or something. It was like we pulled in with our, you know, everybody, because we had the Harry Potter book had been out for like an hour and a half, and all these drunk people were like, "We got the book!" So it was good times. Good times. Long live Zeitgeist and Zeitgeist Summer forever. Peace.
Okay, I just want to give an editor's note. It was actually Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows that came out that night. Even more epic. Long live the pumpkins. Long live Harry Potter.
This next one was written in by Evangelina Sanchez. Enough has been said about Zeitgeist not being people's favorite album, which I am one of them. However, one song that makes me revisit this album is Stellar. Over their entire catalog, Stellar has a spot up there in my top five. Much like Pat, I needed this song and had no idea why. It's tragically beautiful and kills me every time. I am so happy I bought the Best Buy version at the time. I already had one copy, do I really need another one? Oh boy, did I. The line withstood a thought so sad, I had to laugh. Talk about fucking cathartic poetry. I truly believe that this song is up there with Soma, and I am glad to fight people on this. It's that fucking beautiful to me. A song has never spoken to me more. Perhaps at the time, I was 25, I did not understand my own feelings and the drudge of dealing with anxiety and not realizing how much I needed to talk to someone about it. Flash forward to my late 30s and going through therapy, and suddenly, this song made so much more sense. I've never internalized a Smashing Pumpkins song like I have this one. Just utterly exquisite. Within a dream I had, some fist I found, meant for a song, struck from the first bone, left from the rain home. This next one comes from James Puckett. Bring the
light, bring the light. Hi, Smashing Pumpcast. James Puckett here, new Patreon member. So I was 24 in the summer of 2007 when the Smashing Pumpkins were re-released onto the world stage again. I was amped up to a bit of a degree. Earlier that year, I got a tattoo of the band, the SP logo and a heart on the back of my shoulder. It's kind of a crappy tattoo in terms of craftsmanship, but it means the world to me. When I first heard the single Tarantula or Tarantula or however it's appropriately pronounced, I found myself really liking the spacey break in the middle of the song. It reminded me a lot of Siamese Dream. When I got the record, I was blown away mainly by three tracks. That's the Way My Love Is, United States, and Bring the Light. The Death From Above and Zeitgeist B-sides were also tracks I really, really love. To be honest though, this is a Pumpkins album on my lower end of albums. However, when I heard your episode reviewing Zeitgeist, while you were conversing about Doomsday Clock, I immediately found myself running back to put the album on and thinking of the Shia LaBeouf classic Transformers. That's the Way My Love Is and United States are still two of my favorite Pumpkin songs of all time. And that summer, I got to catch the group in Houston on that tour where I live with my best friend. All in all, good music, better memories, and thank you, Pumpcast, for helping reinvigorate my love for this album. Until next time.
The next comment was made on our Patreon by Carlos David Glass. I loved your Zeitgeist episode. You guys were right on point with being a broke, just out of college or about to be out of college kid trying to drum up excitement, but just having life get in the way. I was kind of upset there was no full tour, but rather residency, so I was never able to afford a show. But I shared Pat's point of view on the songs, where the album gets much better after the first three songs. I still like them, but they're not my favorite on the album. Those still go to That's the Way, Stellar, and United States. Also, still not down with Pomp. I think it's the weakest album closer of all their albums. This next one was sent in from Dean Schaefer.
Hey Frank and Pat, this is Dean calling in from San Francisco again. Thanks so much for everything you do. Still just loving the show. So Zeitgeist era, I guess when I started really getting into the Smashing Pumpkins, they were basically already broken up, and then I got really into Swan, and I just sort of thought that I would never get a chance to see them again. I saw them when I was like 9, but I didn't really, you know, I was like so little. And so when they announced that they were coming back, I was just so excited. And I remember Tarantula, the single Tarantula, coming out, and it was unique because it was, you know, there was like a video on YouTube, I think, and it was like one of the first times where you could just like listen to a song over and over and over again, which is what I did. I remember I was in college and I just played the Tarantula video just like nonstop on repeat, and was just so beyond excited about the album based on that song. And I have to say, when the album came out, I liked it, but I didn't, it didn't for me, like, the rest of the album wasn't as good as Tarantula had made me think it would be, I guess I would say. And I kind of had confused feelings at the time about it. I remember thinking that, you know, I didn't know as much then as I do now, thanks to you guys, about, you know, how much Billy was really the center of all the writing. And at the time, I didn't know that. And I remember thinking, like, without James and Darcy, but especially James, to sort of like maybe balance Billy out a little bit, that the album came off as sort of like unrelentingly heavy and just sort of like a little heavy and like not as nuanced as some of their earlier stuff. I think maybe looking back on it, knowing what I do now, I don't know if I would make the same sort of like assessment, but I do think that the album has grown on me a lot, but I think it still maybe lacks some of the range of some of the earlier albums, but it has some like killer songs, and I really enjoy it, and it's a fun record. And you know, there are still a lot of parallels to earlier albums that I enjoy, so like, you know, Bring the Light, which has an amazing guitar solo, that solo for me really evokes Quiet from Siamese Dream, for example, like the way that he makes his guitar sound and kind of the style of it. I feel like there's still a lot of intentional nods back, and it is a great album, and it's really grown on me over time. When they announced their Fillmore residency show, I was in LA, and I think we just missed getting the tickets. They went so fast, and then they announced the extra few nights at the Fillmore in San Francisco, and one of my friends, I guess, managed to snag tickets to the last night of the Fillmore residency, and four of us, one of whom was our teacher we had in high school, who was like on the younger side, who was very cool and was really into the band. So it was three of us and him. We drove up from LA to San Francisco, waited in line at the Fillmore, and went to the show and drove back like overnight and back afterwards. And it was incredible. It's still one of my favorite concerts I've ever been to. They did two sets and maybe at least one or two encores. And the first set was like an acoustic style set, where I remember they played things like Rose March, which I hadn't heard before, of course, because he had just written it, I think. And then in the electric set, they played it was so long and so good. And I remember really clearly, like, one of the things I think I realized about the band then that I still really love is that they never really let their songs like go stale or stay the same. You know, I think like you talked on the show about how when they were playing Bullet with Butterfly Wings for a while, they had kind of like a new arrangement of it. And that I realize is pretty common for them, which I think is pretty unique for bands. Like, they would just keep reinventing, not only writing so many new songs, but continuously reinventing old songs. And I remember at the show, they played Shame, which I really just, it was like my least favorite Pumpkin song. I just really, at the time, did not like that song. It's grown on me since, but I hated that song, to be honest. And the way that they played it, though, in the Fillmore show was like totally different than the album. And it was amazing. I remember just being blown away by how good it was and how different it was. And it wasn't like a totally new song, but they just really reimagined it in a way that I loved. Plus, they played, you know, classics like Starla, and I'm gonna forget the set list, but it was incredible. And then I think I got the When All Goes Wrong DVD, if you like, I don't know, whenever it came out, and it was cool. I was like in the crowd and some of the crowd shots for that, which was really neat to see. and just to, I don't know, feel like I was part of it. It was an amazing show, and they were incredible. And it's been interesting rewatching the documentary now as you guys get close to covering it, and just seeing kind of the negativity that Billy felt about the residency in San Francisco. It seems like some of the earlier shows didn't get the reception that he wanted, perhaps. But I don't, you know, the one that I went to, which was the last one, I don't remember it feeling that way. I mean, I'm sure he's right about the other ones, but the one that I went to, I remember just the enthusiasm was so high. The crowd was so into it, and they were just in you know, top form, like playing so well, just totally comfortable, you know, just really in the pocket and just as strong as ever. So I feel really lucky to have seen that show and to have been there for that part of their journey. And yeah, I've really enjoyed going back to some of the other stuff, like the American Gothic EP, which I listened to at the time, but I think was kind of like the beginning of when I started to really drop off from the band. I think I listened to some of the Tear Garden stuff, but it didn't really stay with me. I didn't listen to it a lot. It's been fun re-listening to it now and getting ready for you guys to cover it. But yeah, the Zeitgeist era, it was really exciting to see them come back, and to hope that there would be a lot more in the future, which of course there has been, which I feel very lucky for. So yeah, I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for everything you're doing. Love the cast, and keep it up, and catch you guys soon. Thanks.
And over on Instagram, we had a couple of comments on Zeitgeist. Russ_666 says, "I love this album. When it initially came out in 07, the first listen was, because the mix was very jarring and different. Vocals super high in the mix and multi-layered. But having spent the summer with it on repeat, it then became one of my favorite Pumpkins albums ever. Arguably, I played Zeitgeist more than any other SP album post-2000. And that's saying something. I believe WPC has said he intends to remix it for the reissue, so I'm super curious to see what he does with it. The live band on that reunion tour with Jeff, Ginger, and Lisa was fire." Kim Rosa says, "My second biggest regret in life is missing that residency after I moved. First is being too poor to make the quote-unquote last shows in Chicago. I live life to make up for that every tour season." Matt Billington says, "Was revisiting Zeitgeist today, and for the first time in ages, I wonder if there was conversations in the control room about mixing the vocals a little quieter. Stars, for example. Billy was really into layering vocal harmonies in the choruses on basically every song. All jokes aside, I agree that this is a solid album and aged pretty well." Epiphany_estimator says, "It's crazy how Death From Above wasn't on the main release. It's an all-time song." Roll_in_surf says, "Zeitgeist is just growing on me so much. I feel like going back and really digesting Machina and the following albums really allow you to enjoy Smashing Pumpkins so much and appreciate every note and subtlety." Zini17 says, "I cannot describe the euphoria of discovering Ma Bell in Stellar 5 years later as a Purple Version kid." SP Freaks Team says, "Incredible album, fire emoji." And over at Twitter, @BoomMan22 says, "JC's opening drum pattern on Doomsday Clock is incredible. That song rips." And with that, we close out Zeitgeist Summer. We want to thank everyone who submitted their listener appreciation stories, and to you for listening. Coming up, we'll be discussing Tear Garden, but in the meantime, you can hit us up on Instagram @SmashingPumpcast, cast is spelt K-A-S-T, and on Twitter @PumpkinsPodcast, podcast is spelt normal there. And you can sign up for our Patreon patreon.com/SmashingPumpcast, cast is spelled K-A-S-T, or you could throw us a few bucks on buymeacoffee.com/pumpcast. Take care, pumpkin heads, and until then, farewell and good night.